Rider Nation, William Powell, bringing the energy, bringing the fight, bringing the fire every game day, every practice. Let's go, Rider Nation.
I'm ready.
Everybody, this is the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. That was Here We Go by the Johnny McKeag Band. My name is Alex.
I'm Steve.
And I'm playing League of Legends. Is that okay?
I think that's okay.
We'll allow it.
Okay, good.
You can give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at Real Alex D.
You can follow me if you want at Safamud.
And don't follow me at Greg on Sports. I don't care anymore.
Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/PifflesPodcast and the website PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check them out. We're also a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Guys, is it August yet? Let's get to the opening kickoff.
I'm going to laugh.
Now it feels like we're back in studio.
All right, mark your calendars. August 5th, the Rec Laws. How many times are we going to hear the Rec Laws on August 5th? Third and one from the gun, Thursday Night Lights. We have a CFL season and it starts Thursday, August 5th, guys.
To answer your question, 1,603 times.
Over.
Maybe I'm taking the over.
That's a good bet.
And
you know what? I'm not even going to be mad this time. I used to be sick of that song. Now I want nothing more than to just hear it for an entire evening. Like, don't even have a commentary that game. Just play that song on loop for the entire 3 hours. Let it go.
I want Rod Black just to sing it karaoke style the entire game. That's how much I want CFL football. I don't care.
Or do you?
I do. Anyway. like I said, I don't care. Put whoever you want in the booth, just get the game on the field. I can't wait.
And that was the news on Monday as it was announced. Unanimously voted that the CFL Board of Governors have approved the 14-game season. And I put the word unanimously in quotation marks because I truly don't think it was unanimous. But who cares? We have football. And that's all that matters. And probably MLSE and Toronto just sucked it up because everybody else is like, hey, we vote yes. And they're like, no. Well, let's re-vote. Okay, everybody voted yes. So, doesn't matter. Who cares? We have CFL football back after almost two full years.
And not only has it been almost two full years, but we've had to listen to Bombers fans constantly remind us that they're reigning champs for almost two full years.
Well,
absolutely done with that.
They seem to think they're two-year champions like they earn it. It's hilarious.
And so if you look at the schedule, August 6th, the first Riders home game, that's going to be against BC at Mosaic Stadium. Four straight home games for the Riders to start the season. That goes into Labor Day with a bye mixed in between. And then, of course, the Banjo Bowl right after that. So they are keeping the Labor Day and the Banjo Bowl in its regular spot. But otherwise, it's a really weird schedule. But again, I don't care. We have a schedule. We have CFL football. And that's the big news. And it's great to have it back. I'm actually getting a little bit excited now. And I didn't think that we'd actually be able to start on August 5th, but here we are.
My favorite part of that schedule is Stamptober. We play Calgary for three straight games in October before closing the season out against Montreal, I think, but we don't play anybody else all through October until the last day.
I would like to point out Stamptober is trademarked to Greg on Sports Inc. Please pay me my money, sir.
You really want to talk to me about paying money? I'll get that to you right on time.
I will give you to a timeline. I expect you to pay me at least 30 minutes late, but that's beside the point. The schedule, I feel sorry for anyone who has a wedding plan for August in Saskatchewan because there's going to be a lot of RSVPs canceled right now. I can't believe the entire, it's basically all of August, game in September, game in October, game in November. That's it for Riders home games. So
Which, you know what? After 2 years of having no football, give me four straight home games to open the year. I can handle one a month for the rest of the year. But can you imagine how crazy that place is going to be on August 6th? And then for the next 4 weeks, well, 4 weeks with a bye in there. And that first Labor Day, my God.
August 6th, I expect that to be the loudest crowd at the new stadium that I've ever heard in my life. And it doesn't matter if they have full 33,000 or if they're only able to do season ticket holders at 21,000. It doesn't matter to me. That's going to be so loud the whole way through. You guys remember how loud it was at the Grey Cup in 2013 at Taylor Field? This might top that.
Just for pure energy and saving it up for a year and a half, I think you might be right. It's going to be a sight to behold for sure.
Oh, it's a good thing they didn't put a roof on the stadium. It's only roof ready because we blow it off on August 6th because it's going to be nuts.
I've seen so many people say, I can't wait to spend $12 on a beer. And I've never seen that said by anybody 12. Before.
Are you kidding me? They got to make up money. It's going to be at least 15.
And they'll pay it.
I'm pleasantly surprised that the Riders are giving credits to season ticket holders. I figured they just bumped the prices up by the 22% that they missed out on. But they're actually giving us money back.
Well, they didn't really have much of a choice. PR is PR on that would be
right bad. Now, public relations is key here.
Everything.
I feel like they could get away with almost anything the way we just want football back.
So you guys mentioned Stamptober. I'm actually a big fan of that. Three games in a row for the Riders anyway. Calgary has a game against BC mixed in there, so they don't have the three straight against the Riders. But I really like that for this team going into the latter half of the schedule, because assuming everybody's healthy and the teams are kind of where we think that they're going to be in terms of how good they are, that's going to be the biggest test for the Riders. And if they can get through those three games with a 2-1 record, even, then I think they're poisoning themselves pretty good.
And talk about two early predictions. Whoever wins that best of three is probably going to come number one in the West. Like, yeah, everyone's like, oh, Winnipeg reigning champions. I don't know. I think Calgary
Zach Claros for a full season.
Yeah, exactly. And who knows what the Elks have. And BC has still got an offensive line that means we'll put quarters in their head so they can do turnstiles. Like, Saskatchewan and Calgary are the best in the West. Even two years later, like look at our linebacking core. That was a question mark, and now I'm very, very pleasantly surprised.
And that's with the addition of Dion Lacey to the linebacking core. So you have Dion Lacey, Larry Dean, and I mean, you can put they signed the, I think it's Rogers from the Stamps, who can play the Sam linebacker spot. They have the Herman Reed brothers that can rotate in. They have, you can bring Lucchese Purifoy down. They have so many options at linebacker and DB that's going to be a really good battle. But we'll get into that over the coming weeks with the rosters and whatnot. But I'm just excited that we have this. And I knew it was coming. I knew the announcement was coming, but it still feels really good to know that, hey, normal's a month and a half away, at least here in Saskatchewan, where it sounds like we're going to have a full stadium.
That's going to be so weird to go from, like, right now, if you wanted to host an event like that at Mosaic Stadium, you could have 150 people. And we're talking 6 weeks from now, they're going to slam 33,000 people into that building. And every one of us is going to be pumped to be there.
That's one household, though, right? We can have 33,000 as long as one household.
Yeah, we're all family.
But, like, okay, I got to ask you guys. We may as well talk about the elephant in the room here. How comfortable are you guys going to be going from, we can't even be in the same room together still, technically. We're Zooming this. To 33,000, shoulder to shoulder, basically spitting and screaming on each other. Like, I miss it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what?
I'm going to make sure I have
enough. I'm okay in my hermit shell here.
I'm going to have enough fun at the pregame tailgate that maybe I just won't think about it while we're at the game.
Yeah, I'm pretty okay right now with random people just not hugging me. And I kind of want that to stay the same. I don't know where I'm at yet on that because I'm excited for it to come back. But it's not that I don't trust the next person next to me. It's just that I don't trust the person next to me. You know what I mean? And this is where it comes down to, and I don't really want to get into it too much, but it's the whole vaccine passport thing. Should they have to have one? And it sounds like they're not going to, but that is a legitimate concern for a lot of people, that they may not go to games because, well, I don't know if the person beside me is double vaxxed.
As of Monday, I'll be double vaxxed. I will admit that. And like I said before, I think I titled the episode two episodes ago, Needles in Arms, Butts in Seats. And that's where we're at right now. Like, the reason why we are going to have a full stadium is because of our vaccination numbers. So it's going to be wild. Like, I'm excited. I'm not worried about it, but at the same time, it's like, it's going to be so weird. I hate crowded theaters. Like, Rider Games was the only thing that I enjoyed being amongst that many people. And it's like, it's been so long. I don't know anymore.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see what they do if they stagger people in through the entrances, and they're still going to try to do some sort of social distancing, at least in the concourse area. How that's going to work, I have no idea when you have 33,000 people.
I was going to say, have you ever went to go take a go to the bathroom at the end of a quarter? Good luck.
Love the child-friendly change there mid-sentence. That was well.
I'm good at switching mid-sentence if I have to.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, geez, I got aisle seats. I don't know if I might want to move them over to middle so I don't have people walking in front of me all the time.
I'm not leaving my aisle. There's no way in hell I'm leaving my aisle seat.
But hopefully in the next few weeks here before the season gets started, we'll have more people vaccinated and make everybody a little bit more comfortable anyway. What's going to be interesting is to me is training camps, no preseason games, which, yes, no preseason
finally
games.
It I'm makes so no sense. I'm sorry, preseason games, who cares?
They suck. The first
Can we
five
do that every
great
year?
The first 5 minutes are great because, hey, you're back in the stadium. We have football, even though it doesn't count. You see the starters for one drive. And then after that, the product is crap. It's all backups. And I lose interest. And I regret staying every single time because I'm like, man, I should just leave because this game sucks. But I'm just happy because it's been 6 months without football that you stay.
I have two preseason memories in my life. One was the All Regina backfield of Teal Orban, Stu Ford, and Neil Hughes. And the other one was a young number 14 for the Riders. Had a hell of an arm on him. And I'm like, I like that kid. Who is it? It turned out to be Darian Durant. But that's about it. That's the only thing I remember of preseason ever. And I was only right about one player ever in my life.
I would honestly sit through an 8-quarter preseason game this year if I had to, but I'm also very excited that we don't have to sit through any of them.
And the good news is we can't get in trouble for filming a preseason game this year either.
Never again. I'm sorry.
Well, players will start coming up to Canada and into all the host cities, the team cities, starting January 2nd, and then there's going to be a quarantine period, and training camp should start on the 10th or 11th, depending on the city. So we'll get about almost four full weeks of preseason or training camps anyway, before the regular season starts. And that I'm curious how this is going to work in the long run, because the first couple games, there might be a lot of injuries, and especially after having so much time off and not having a preseason game to go out and just absolutely hit somebody. The first few weeks of the CFL season are going to be absolutely weird.
What do you guys think of O'Day talking about doing mixed controlled scrimmages with the Bombers?
I'm curious who's going to start the fight, because it's going to happen.
It's going to be in the trenches. It's totally going to be in the trenches. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be Mac Henry.
Very high probability. But I'm for it. They need to hit somebody before the first regular season game. And if they can do it properly, this happens all the time in the NFL. We see it all the time, but there's always just a brawl that breaks out, and that's going to happen here, but whatever. I think cooler heads will prevail here in the CFL. I can't see much happening out of it.
I love the fact that we're seeing rivals doing this. Saskatchewan and Winnipeg are talking about it. Edmonton and Calgary are going to do it. Like, you would think that you would try and plan it out with maybe not your closest rival, but it's almost better that way.
But I also
get that interest.
I also understand there's a skill drop, but why wouldn't you do it against like a Rams or a Thunder or at least something to get actual like contact in? Like, who cares if it's a step down? As long as you're getting contact in.
But I think then you're running into, do you really want to put professional athletes up against, you know, the college players, guys?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Like, you're not going to, at least going up against other pros, you're going to get best on best and, you know, something good can come out of it.
But
if you're doing
a controlled scrimmage, it's not 100% anyways. It's basically a glorified practice anyway.
Now, I'm curious, you brought up Jeremy O'Day's comments. What about Craig Dickinson's comments on Thursday about surprise cuts across the CFL? There's going to be some guys that come in and didn't do what the team asked of them to be, you know, football ready. And they're going to come into camp and not be in shape, in proper shape. And there's going to be a young guy that comes in that maybe played last year or even, you know, practice roster for the NFL or was in college last year. That's going to come in and take their jobs. You guys think that's a legitimate thing that's going to happen this year?
I don't even think it's going to be a shape issue. I think it's going to be a contract issue. I guarantee you every team is basically thinking we need to get our money down as much as possible so we don't hemorrhage money. So, yeah,
I think it'll be a good combination of both. You're going to see some guys coming in and you've seen players already fighting back against Dickinson's comments, and it makes you wonder, you know, they're partially right. They haven't really had the opportunity because they're working so much or gyms have been closed or what have you, but there's no excuses when you're a professional athlete. If this is what you want to do with your life, you have to find a way to make it work. If you don't come to camp in shape, you don't play pro ball.
Unfortunately,
it's really that simple.
Yeah, we're not in the 70s and 80s anymore where the guys would come in halftime, smoke a couple cigarettes, take the entire spring off, drink a bunch of beers, do a bunch of fishing, and then come back in the summer and start hitting people and get in shape by game four. We're not there anymore. But yes, unfortunately, there are guys that are going to come into shape, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to if player A is a higher paid veteran and player B is a younger kid, but the step off isn't that much, you're going to see a lot more veterans cut this year.
My surprise cut that the Riders are going to have, and to me, it's not a surprise, it's going to be Ed Gainey. And not because I think he's going to come in out of shape or complacent. I just think that there's so much depth on this team in the backfield and linebackers that they're going to go younger, cheaper, and they can just kind of blame it on, hey, the other guys were in shape and Ed wasn't what we needed.
You know, when you go back to the 2016-17 cuts by Chris Jones when he cut Chick and Dressler and whatnot with it, when it was all about money, you may see the same screaming fans if they do it to Ed Gainey. But what do? You have to make the hard decisions, especially this year after a year and a half off, where every team has been hemorrhaging money. You're going to see those. And I'm excited, not excited for, you know, that's the wrong word because I feel bad for the guys getting cut, but I'm really interested to see who is that big surprise cut. There will be a few.
I wouldn't be surprised though to see a few more retirements that you just don't see coming. There's going to be guys that are just going to say, I'm just not playing this year, if at
well,
all, ever
and,
again.
And 14 games, like if they haven't played for 2 years and their spot's not guaranteed on the roster, you come in and you're like, you know what? I wasn't necessarily ready for having a, you know, a 2 year off period that, and they found another job in the off season that actually pays really, really well, probably better than they're going to make in the CFL. Yeah. With the uncertainty that was around the CFL, why would you want to come up here, especially play for Canadian money with the way that the dollar is?
I guarantee you one of the Rider name cuts is probably going to be on receiver. Because they're thick at receiver right now, and someone can't stay.
Well, that's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Let's get to the Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. Guys, the Edmonton Elks, we finally have the name, and this is the first episode we've had since they've had the name. What do you guys think?
I'm sorry, Edmonton fans, for causing all the headaches I did. This is my contrition for breaking Empire and then breaking the fact that they changed the name again. I'm sorry, but you finally got it right.
I absolutely am living for all of the idiot fans who are still complaining that they are changing the name or have changed the name. You see it in every single comment.
Yep.
They're still the Eskimos. No, buddy, they're not. You got to let it go. And middle-aged old middle-aged white guys don't get to decide what's offensive to the Inuit community. I'm sorry. And that's what it always is when you look at the comments. It's almost exclusively elderly Caucasian males.
Comments? Just look at Terry Jones' Twitter feed.
Oh, I rest my case.
But no, the Elks did well. I got to give them props because when they realized they didn't want to – because after they did the name – they had Morley Scott read all the names, and they realized Elks was more popular than the Elk, as they had it announced. They went and they trademarked Elks, but to kind of throw people off their scent, because apparently they realized I'm looking, they also trademarked Energy, just to not make it obvious. So they smokescreened me on that one. I will give them that one.
I actually really like the name Elks. I think I think it's going to work out well in the long term. And the logo, I think, is great. The little the antlers is a little sideways E, so they have another E in the logo, and they're still going to use the double E once in a while as well, too. I think it's brilliant. I think it works out really well. And the merch that you've seen, that I've seen on Twitter of,
it's good.
Of people buying, it looks really good. And speaking of looking really good, Trevor Harris, my goodness, you guys see him?
The old sandal, the slides and socks. Oh, yeah.
Hey, slides and socks are a way of life. That's good stuff right there. But he was looking pretty good. My goodness.
But, you know, the Edmonton Elks, like, I like everything they did. I just find it funny, though. They had to keep the double E. They had to have an E name so they could keep the double E. And then they end up coming with a new primary logo and going, yeah, we're going to use the double E occasionally.
I think the one thing that they did absolutely correct was throwing down that 80-yard logo on the field.
That looked amazing.
From what I've understood, huge. They're keeping that. That is permanent. Good. Yeah, that's what Dave Campbell from Ched said, that they're keeping that logo on the field.
That's
and they
nuts.
Should. I wish more teams would do that. Just smash the logo across 60 or 80 yards of the field. That looks fantastic.
Okay, my only problem with that, though, because the normal television angle is from east to west, so the long ways. So that logo is going to be like laying on its back the entire game.
Just like the football team. The only team that shouldn't do that is Winnipeg, because why would you ever want to just splash a gigantic W across 80 yards on your field? You'd look ridiculous.
No, that would look like an E.
Or an M.
Or three.
Depends on which side of the field you're on, what team you're rooting for.
All right. One other thing I want to get to here in the Churchill Brewing Company odds and end zones. The NFL COVID protocols changed. The NFL and the NFLPA agreed to redo their CBA and how they're going to monitor with vaccinated players and non-vaccinated players. Basically, they're telling you to get vaccinated without getting vaccinated. They're saying it's still your choice, players. But if you don't get it, you have to travel separately. You have to stay in the hotel. You can't go out at night. You're going to get fined if you go to the bar. You're going to get fined for this. You're going to get fined for that. You can't use the spa. You can't use the steam room. But if you're fully vaxxed, hey, everything's back to normal for you. So my question to you guys, should the CFL follow and do that as well?
Well,
100%.
As an avid follower of Cole Beasley on Twitter. Oh my.
Really?
Yeah. Did you? No, I'm not. But did you see his freak out today?
No.
Apparently the NFL Players Association needs to change their name because they don't represent the players anymore.
Joe Mixon went off on that too.
Who?
Joe Mixon.
Who? Is he a player?
That's rude of you. Come on. He was on my fantasy championship winning team, and I couldn't drop him because they didn't put him on the sick, on the injured list.
I am very, very happy that I traded both of those guys last year in fantasy football. That makes me even happier. Bunch of bums.
Exactly. Like, honestly, they need to do something because, you know, there's guys that are vaccine hesitant. And thank God John Chick doesn't play in the league anymore, but that's beside the point. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but
I don't know. We could bring Amy on and see what she has to say about it.
I think she's okay.
Yeah, okay. She's fine. She's fine. But I don't know. At some point, like there's bets to see how many games are going to get canceled in the CFL season because of the protocols. So like there's, you can bet on Bodog. Yeah, if they're actually going to make a full 14-game schedule. Look how many games the Tennessee Titans had to shift and move because of their COVID gong show.
Well, and the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers, like, that was a wreck by itself.
Yeah, and that was because of the Titans. And that screwed me in fantasy last year big time. So, like, the NFL is doing it right. They need to have the games on the field when they need to go. CFL, considering they're shortening their season and trying to jam this all in, probably should follow suit or do something similar because it's nuts.
The biggest concern with the CFL schedule is there's absolutely zero leeway for any kind of cancellations. Yep. There's no spare week between the end of the season, the playoffs. There's nothing. It's just like, what do they do if they have to cancel a game? And I think that's part of why there's all that talk about allowing eight teams in the playoffs instead of the six that they normally do, is because if a certain team misses two or three games because of COVID, well, it's not really fair. Let's open it up to eight and get the best teams in, right?
And Ottawa will just be happy to be nominated, so it's okay.
Number one pick.
All right, so moving on. I do have a question. One more question I want to ask you guys before we get to our Piffles memories. What player on the Riders are you guys looking forward to seeing the most in training camp? All it could be them. Somebody that was on the team before. It could be a newcomer.
All of them?
No, you have to pick one.
I'm really – and Lord knows I love Cody. I want to see what he can actually do this year because was it a one-off? Is he really what we think he is? I think he is, but I've been wrong before. But he's got a lot of good talent behind him right now. I'm very curious on how that quarterback tree is going to shake out, considering the talent they have.
And in a Jason Moss offense, too. That should be a little bit more friendly to Cody Fajardo than the Stephen McAdoo offense that we were accustomed to for a while.
It wasn't McAdoo's fault. Just ask anyone. It's not McAdoo's fault.
As a regular Steven defender, no, it was 100% his fault. For me, I just hope that that Fajardo has gotten rid of that blind rollout out of his repertoire. That's the biggest one for me. But
turn right. Quit turning left.
I'm excited to see how the linebacking core, especially, looks after you lose the most outstanding Canadian or nominee last year in Judge. Where will they fit? How will they look with a completely different group?
Okay, so let me ask you again, Steve. One player you're looking forward to seeing the most in camp?
Let's go with Larry Dean. He's been the enemy for so long. Let's stick to him.
I'm looking forward to seeing Jordan Williams-Lambert because it's been almost two full calendar years from CFL game to CFL game here that we haven't had. But also, he didn't play much in 2019 after coming back from his NFL shot. So he's looking at almost 3 years away. And this is a guy who's supposed to be our number three receiver behind Shaq Evans and Kyron Moore. I'm curious if the names behind him, like a guy like Sammy Coates, who was a Pittsburgh Steeler, and some of the other guys, Paul McRoberts is there too, that they seem to be pretty high on, if they'll push Jordan Williams-Lambert out.
And that's
so I'm curious.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just curious how he's going to be without having real – I mean, he played a little bit but didn't play much in 2019. So I'm curious to see how he comes in after this much time off.
And that's why I said earlier, I think we're going to get a cut on receiver, and I think it's going to be him. Because, yeah, you're right. We got Coates behind him. We got Coates. Kyron Moore's still here. Like, we've got a lot of talent there. And we drafted some good Canadian receivers as well that can play in that so-called American spot. So I think Jay Will might be one of those casualties.
All right. And finally, here on the Piffles podcast this week, let's get to our Piffles memories, where we picked one game, and I'll throw it out to you guys. Tell me what you guys remember for it. And this one came in on Twitter at Piffles Pod. The 2007 Thunder Bowl against Edmonton, when the lights went out.
I love the rainy nights.
And then
that right there is all I remember.
That song hit, and when the power came back on, there was only about 10,000 people left, but it sounded like it was louder. No, it didn't sound like
it. No, it didn't sound like it was louder. Edmonton couldn't hold on to a football. That's why the Riders came all the way back to win that.
But the energy was there, and so guys, what do you remember from that game?
I remember because I was actually in the university section that game. I was actually at that game, and it was, I remember watching, looking at the clouds. I'm like, hey, it might rain on us. Oh, no, I think we're okay. It might rain. And then it hit ever. But the thing I actually remember most is when they basically told everyone to get out of the stands, was everyone just like crammed underneath the bleachers and like singing Green is the Color. And then you had
messy down there.
Oh, it was messy down there. And then you got the occasional people with their AM radios in, basically yelling, Roddy's on the air. And they're giving updates about when the game is going to start. And I was soaked to the bone, but it was, I don't know. After that game, it basically felt like that was a team of destiny. Like, everyone was talking about the Labor Day, but that game, the way everything just worked out, is like, this is a team of destiny.
My favorite part about that game, like Greg said, was everybody being told to leave, and you going from, what is it, 28,000 people to a third of that, if that, and them coming out after the rain delay louder than I think I'd ever heard fans at that stadium before the playoffs that year. Like, it was loud. It was crazy. I remember Eric Tillman running up and down the sidelines with a giant Rider flag.
I was about to mention that. Yeah.
Like, it was an atmosphere that we hadn't really seen before in a stadium known for great fan environment. That was its own ball game. That was, if I had to list a top five favorite games, that other than the Grey Cup, that might be at or near the top.
I 100%. I honestly think if you look back at that 2007 season and you look at like fans of our age, at least three games of all time are probably in the top 10. And that's this one, that's Grey Cup, and that's Labor Day.
Don't forget the semifinal.
The semifinal too. Yes. Sorry. So four. Sorry. My bad.
That opening touchdown on the very first play of the game.
DJ Fleck. I'll never forget that.
Oh, God.
I thought the stadium might fall down right then and there.
What was the name?
That feels like another game for another memory.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Gary Busey movie that they showed on CBC?
Oh,
when they posted.
Oh, in the interim.
Yeah, and they put on a Gary Busey movie, and then when the game started, they didn't go back to the game. They kept playing the stupid movie, and then they finally got back to the game after.
Yeah, CBC got a lot of complaints from Saskatchewan fans.
All I remember was that apparently it was a Gary Busey movie. That's all I remember.
And you got to give it to Roddy, though. Like, the power went out of the stadium. He's on his cell phone, phoning back to the station, trying to stay live on the air. Like, if it wasn't for that, no one underneath the stand would have any freaking clue, because they're telling people to go home and no one was leaving.
Now, there was just something about that season, that game, and leading into, that was just a couple weeks before Labor Day as well too, so that was just the real beginning of that season there for the Riders, and we knew then that we had something special.
By the way, it was not Gary Busey, it was Nick Nolte.
Oh, Nick
and
Nolte.
It was The Good Thief.
Ah, you had to look it up.
Yeah, he was definitely doing a little Googling there.
Nick Nolte. All right.
I was going to say Steve Nolte's Nick Nolte movies.
Yeah, I it's on my playlist every month. If it was, it would never have been after that day.
Hey, I would rather watch The Good Thief than the 2019 Western Final that other people were suggesting that we talk about today.
If we could never talk about that game during these memory sections, that would be great.
Oh, don't worry. I'm assuming TSN's probably going to show it this week at some point again.
Right, probably. I'm going to add that in here because I have a couple of memories from that game as well, too. But we'll save that for another day. Anyway, that's...
Can I skip that episode?
No. You're a contract. You're not allowed to miss
it. Yeah, you and your ponytail better be there.
Don't be hating just because I actually have hair.
Yeah, it's envy on our
honestly, end. You are definitely killing my FOMO right now. It's gone.
Well, that's going to do it for us here on the Piffles Podcast this week. Thanks for joining us.
You look like an art teacher.
Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty and Churchill Brewing Company for their support making this show possible. Piffles Podcast is a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Guys, we'll do this again in a week, 2 weeks. I'm not really sure, but we'll start getting into a little bit of the roster and taking a look at what the Riders have, because it's been a while since we've actually looked at the roster. And
we have to start talking football.
They still have players? What?
Yeah, what? I know this is weird. We haven't done this in a couple of years, so yeah, we'll take a
maybe
little
maybe
we'll
in person out. Soon.
Are we playing the Houston Roughnecks?
That's 2022.
Oh, okay. The Rock's still commissioner though, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
But we'll take a couple of weeks and we'll figure things out from there. We'll talk. We'll get more into football with the Riders roster in the coming weeks. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Ghost Behind Your Mind by Tyler Gilbert.